begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. I am your host, Stephen Flurry, and we're very happy to have you as a listener. We've been at this for 6 years now, and whether you're a longtime listener or coming in fresh, as I say, we're very, very happy that you could join us. Sometimes on this program, you'll hear us refer to books or booklets by Herbert Armstrong, the namesake of our college, and he died in 1986 and wrote, over the course of his ministry, hundreds and hundreds of articles and gave radio programs by the hundreds and TV programs. He wrote several fantastic books, his best-known book, Mystery of the Ages. You'll hear us refer to these pieces of literature and many others written by my father in the 30-plus years of his ministry heading up the Philadelphia Church of God. So any of this material that we make available, if you call our operators today, and it's a toll-free number here in the United States and in the Caribbean and Canada, it's 1-866-930-3024. That's 866-930 and then 3024. You can ask our operators to subscribe to a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine, or as I say, if you want Mystery of the Ages by Herbert Armstrong or anything else that we reference from time to time on this show, that would be the number to call. You can also email the program if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. And if you like this program, if you enjoy what you hear today on the weekend edition, then I would encourage you to tune in to our weekday show that comes on live every day, 9 a.m. out west on the West Coast, and 11 a.m. here in Oklahoma, where our headquarters campus is. And, of course, it's at noon every day, every weekday on the East Coast. And you could get to the live stream of that program at thetrumpet.com. website, thetrumpet.com/live, to be precise. We also have a broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. It takes the live stream of the program, the audio of the program, into 11 million homes all across America. But to get to the video, if you want to watch the video presentation of this show, again, you can get to that at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. Live. We've had a fair bit to say about Dr. Anthony Fauci and just the lies that have been exposed. He lying to Congress back in May, and you may have seen Rand Paul last week confronting him on those lies and even stating that, look, you lied to Congress. Do you want to go back and change your statement? And what did Anthony Fauci say? He said, no, I'm not going to retract anything. I never lie, says the expert. He said he's convinced that he's always telling that, even though the flip-flops, they're well chronicled, they're on tape, you know, we have the tape, and yet, as he says, I never lie. They are so sure of themselves, they have no humility, no self-awareness, they just bounce from one lie to the next. And they're never held to account. As I said on the weekday program last week, it's a shame, really, that there's just one senator who confronts Dr. Fauci and all of the funding that he gave to the Wuhan lab, which is where the COVID-19 virus came from. And you mean we just have one senator who's willing to confront Dr. Fauci for 6 minutes and that's it? Listen to Dr. Fauci from back in 2013. He's talking here about gain of function, and he says, okay, yeah, we don't want a virus to, we don't want there to be a lab leak that could lead to a disaster. But on the other hand, I mean, we've got to give some of these laboratory technicians, we've got to give them some latitude so that they can carry out their experiments. This is Dr. Fauci in 2013, clip one.
Think that that where we are right now in science and molecular biology, and particularly molecular virology, and our ability to sequence and recombine and create various organisms in some respect, is that the best way to prevent a nefarious act is to develop a culture of responsibility among scientists. You have to have some restrictions in the sense of you don't do work that could actually hurt people, in the sense of if you have a laboratory accident, you have to have the right containment. Once you start being too restrictive, you then impede creativity for so many of the good things that could come out of the same type of work.
So we've got to make sure it's not too restrictive what happens in these labs. So what has he been doing for years? Providing millions of dollars in funding to the communist Chinese lab in Wuhan. And that's where it all started. And now, I mean, well, if you judge the trackers, it's what, 4 million deaths worldwide? Is China being held to account? What about Dr. Fauci and his friend Peter Daszak? There he is saying, you know, we want to be careful, okay, but look, we can't be too restrictive. Well, that Wuhan lab certainly was not too restrictive. There they were experimenting away, actually making the disease more potent, more deadly. A man-made disease. That's what it was. That's what it is. I told you about the Trumpet magazine. You need to subscribe to it. That's where you receive tomorrow's news headlines today. 1-866-930-3024. Last year at the Trumpet, this is in the June issue of the Trumpet magazine, we had an article titled, "The Cure is Killing Us." Now, this was early on in the pandemic. This was written probably in May last year, right as the world was plunging into lockdowns. "The cure is killing us," we were saying. It says here, "These measures will no doubt," talking about lockdown primarily, "these measures will no doubt save lives that would have been cut short by the virus, but they are also coming at incalculable cost to our economies, our livelihoods, our civil liberties, freedoms, our social cohesion, even mental and physical health." Mental and physical health? You mean all these measures we were taking last year, that it actually hurt us physically? It says here, "In many ways, it appears the ramifications of the reaction to the coronavirus will dwarf and far outlive the virus itself. It's never been done before, but somehow this is what we're all supposed to be doing. We've just got to listen to the experts. The experts that created the virus. The experts that said, lock everything down. Never mind what it does or doesn't do to our immune systems." The experts that said, look, it's only going to be 10, 12, 14, 15 days at the max. The experts that said, now everybody's got to get vaccinated. Now the pandemic it's really a pandemic for the unvaccinated. Testing, testing, testing. There was a time that was the rage. What about the ventilators? Remember that one? Now they're just filling up landfills. It says here, we're all supposed to do this. This is the new normal. This is World War Flu. We're fighting for our survival. And we've all suddenly decided that a sort of public health totalitarianism is our only hope. Public health totalitarianism. That's what these experts want. That's what their allies in the media want. They want more strict measures. They want more lockdowns. They want people to suffer more as a result of this. And keep in mind, you go back to the very, very start. It all started in the Wuhan lab in China. It's man-made. This is from the New York Times last week. It says, as pandemic restrictions begin to relax, common viruses that cause drippy noses, stuffy heads, and other cold symptoms have roared back to taunt your immune system. So here's the New York Times coming out now and telling you what we were telling you a year ago. What, over a year ago. That look, even physically, this is not good for us to huddle in our basements like Joe Biden during the campaign. This is not good. Last year, this was, I think, in the month of May. Again, this is May, June 2020. And you remember those two doctors from California that got up and said, look, lockdowns are not the answer. If we avoid contact and getting out and working and doing what we do every day, it's going to weaken our immune systems. This is Dr. Erickson, and he's alongside another doctor, but he's talking about the immune system of human beings. Clip 13.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen-antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. You don't take a small child, put them in bubble wrap in a room and say, go have a healthy immune system. This is immunology, microbiology 101. This is not something, this is the basis of what we've known for years.
Microbiology 101, he says. You don't want to put a baby in bubble wrap and then say, go have a healthy immune system, you'll be fine. Babies, they don't operate that way, do they? Crawling on the ground, sticking anything they grab into their mouth right away. This is from the New York Times. It says, months of pandemic restrictions aimed at COVID-19 and the unintended but welcome effect of stopping flu, cold, and other viruses from spreading. But now that masks are off and social gatherings, hugs, and handshakes are back, the run-of-the-mill viruses that cause drippy noses, stuffy heads, coughs, and sneezes have also returned with a vengeance. Well, now there's all this other sickness. Now people are getting sick, and it's right in the middle of the summer. I guess, what does the New York Times expect now? That we just have a permanent state of lockdown for fear of disease? Listen again to this this doctor from California. This is from last year. We played clips of this last year. This was back when we were broadcasting on YouTube. And a program that we had with sound bites from these doctors. It got blotted out. It got censored. Social media was there quickly to act on these doctors that would dare say something that opposed Dr. Fauci. The flip-flopper. The one who funded the Wuhan lab. They come out and say, look, this is microbiology 101. And they get censored. That's right. The United States of America. Who could have believed something like this would ever have happened just a few short years ago? Notice clip 14.
When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters, Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask. Don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive. Let's follow the science. This is immunology, folks. This is microbiology. This is what we've combined together. We have 40 years of experience in this. This is common sense immunology.
It's common sense, and it's science, which is why it was blotted out of social media. It can't go against the Fauci narrative. If it goes against the Fauci narrative, well, we've got to act immediately and make sure that you don't hear it. I mentioned this other article over over one of the programs last week, Victor Davis Hanson, America's Descent into Madness. He says, in the last 6 months, we have seen absurdities never quite witnessed in modern America. Look at what we've seen even in the last 6 months. Further on in his piece, he says, America went from the freest country in the world in December 2019 to a repressive and frightening place by July 2021. A repressive and frightening place. And now here comes the New York Times saying, oh, you know, we've got all this sickness. It's really strange that we have so much sickness, physical sickness, right here in the middle of July, right here in the middle of the summer. Listen again, one last clip here from this doctor from California that we played on this show, this program, last year, well over a year ago. This is clip 15.
I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get diseased. We have both been in the ER through swine flu and through bird flu. Did we shut down for those? Were they much less dangerous than COVID? Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work.
Which is exactly what didn't happen. There's still, look at the craziness in Australia. As they head back into lockdown, time and time again. We've got three cases over here. We got three positives. We got to go into lockdown. We got to lock down millions of people. There's one doctor saying, no, we need to get back to work. And he gets deleted. This New York Times piece from last week, it says, infectious disease experts say there are a number of factors fueling this hot, sneezy summer. While pandemic lockdowns protected many people from COVID-19, our immune systems missed the daily workout of being exposed to a multitude of microbes back when we commuted on subways, spent time at the office, gathered with friends, and sent children to daycare and school. It's pointing out exactly what those doctors pointed out last May. And they had to be censored. The New York Times says, although your immune system is likely as strong as it always was, if it hasn't been alerted to a microbial intruder in a while, it may take a bit longer to get revved up when challenged by a pathogen again, say the experts. It might, you know, this might actually be hurting your immune system. And you know who it's hurting the most? Children who've been shut out of schools, who've been told to go and, if they do play with other children, to wear a mask all day, to wear a mask at recess on the playground. Listen to Jen Psaki. This is the chief propagandist at the White House, talking about how offended she is by a governor, I think it's Governor DeSantis, who said that children shouldn't have to wear a mask. This is clip 5.
Florida Governor DeSantis was talking about mask mandates for kids earlier this morning, and he said, we're not doing that in Florida. We need our kids to breathe. We need our kids to be able to be kids. He said it's terribly uncomfortable for them to do it. That obviously goes against the CDC guidance mm-hmm. for kids under 12 who aren't vaccinated and what the president said last night. Is that putting kids in Florida at risk?
Well, as a parent myself, and I know you are one, if I were a parent in Florida, that would be greatly concerning to me. Because kids under the age of 12 are not vaccinated. They're not eligible yet.
And they also don't die from COVID. Those are the statistics. That's the science. They're not vulnerable as a demographic at all. And forget about the low mortality rates just for people in general. It's just strictly talking about COVID-19 for a moment. But the madness that we've descended into, just like Victor Davis Hanson said, our descent into madness. That's what you're hearing right there. Madness. This is someone who's so offended that someone would dare say to young people, look, go ahead and take off the mask and breathe fresh air. That will help you. That will build up your health in a good way, in a healthy way, in a natural way. But oh no, I mean, not this White House. Not this communist government. It's got to go after, anybody in a red state, anybody that would dare support Donald Trump. And it's surely got to go after the unvaccinated. As if strapping on these cloth masks is going to help strengthen the immune system in a little 11-year-old body. The madness, it continues. This article, the New York Times, it says this surge in sickness this summer, which has been seen in Europe, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand as well, is likely the result of pandemic lockdowns, which created a much larger population of susceptible young children. Now, for young children, the flu can be very dangerous, okay? And this article notes, listen to this, I haven't seen anything like this in 20 years of working as a virologist, that quotes an expert. It says there's usually a degree of pre-existing immunity due to the previous winter. When you don't have that kind of protection, it's a bit like a wildfire. The fire can just continue and the chain of transmission keeps going. This article says that with respect to young people, the vulnerable, that some have been hospitalized with severe symptoms right here in the middle of the summer. That cure, or rather that article, the cure is killing us. Notice the point we made at the end. It says, at some point, COVID-19 will go away, but the cure will remain. At some point. This is what we wrote last May, last June. Over a year ago, the cure is killing us. We said at some point, COVID-19 will go away, but the cure is still going to be with us. The cure will remain. And of course, we have cure in quotes. 15 days to stop the spread? Are you serious? Our descent into madness. The abrupt descent, Victor Davis Hanson says, is not workable, and millions will collectively decide they have no choice but to push back and conclude, in the 233rd year of our republic, we tens of millions are not going to cede freedom of thought and expression to thousands of Maoists. Well, that's someone that's a pretty sharp commentator who's just disgusted, and who sounds like he wants to push back. And there's probably a lot of Americans who feel like they're being pushed into a corner and want to push back as well. Now, more seriously, we've talked at the Trumpet about prophecies in Ezekiel 4 and 5, very sobering prophecies that talk about the civil unrest and the violence. We've seen a little foretaste of it already on the streets of America last summer. But that your Bible prophesies that will spread. Widespread violence and burning and looting. Make sure you request a subscription to the Trumpet magazine if you don't have one already. It's completely free. We give you a free 1-year subscription to the Trumpet. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. You can also request a free subscription by emailing the program, td@thetrumpet.com. td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. Trumpet Daily.
What is it going to take to get people to get shots in arms?
I don't know. You tell me. Folks are supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
But as a leader of the state, don't you think it's your responsibility to try and help get this situation under control?
I've done all I know how to do.
That's the governor of Alabama. And the reporter, of course, they're egging her on. Shouldn't you be able to do more to get to force people into vaccination somehow? At least vaccination passports. It's time to blame the unvaccinated. That they're the problem now. 15 days to stop the spread. And now here's where we are. The problem? It's you. It's you. If you won't inject that spike protein into your body, you know, the one that causes all the blood clots, the one that causes, in the worst cases, that causes even death. Yeah, that's right. VAERS quietly updated its statistics last week. 12,000 Americans dying as a result of the vaccine. What did we say at the Trumpet magazine? At some point, COVID-19 will go away, but the cure, quote unquote, the cure will remain. That's right, the vaccines, I mean, they're going to be with us for a long time. There was an article at American Prospect about Pfizer pushing for the booster shot. Pushing for a booster shot every year. I mean, every year we've got to get the drugs. American Prospect says the company's pitch for a COVID booster or for COVID booster shots without substantial evidence for their medical need could maintain Pfizer's record high revenues for years to come. I mean, they're just raking it in, these drug companies. And I'm sure their motives are all pure as the driven snow, right? Not a chance. The CEO of Pfizer, he told shareholders, investors in his company, he said, beyond 2022 and 23, first of all, we believe, as we said multiple times, that there will be a need for boosters. That's what he told shareholders at the earnings meeting. Following the first quarter this year, he went on to say that he believes annual vaccinations will be required. And, I mean, they've got the cheerleaders in the media, as you've heard. Well, we need this every single year. And Pfizer, record profits for them. This is from American Prospect. It says, last week, Israel became the first country on Earth to begin booster shot campaign, offering a third Pfizer jab. It says, and Pfizer set its hopes for an annual booster shot in motion by submitting a request for emergency use authorization to the FDA. But rather quickly, the FDA pushed back. In a joint statement from the FDA, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they rebuked Pfizer's call for boosters, It says Americans who have been fully vaccinated do not need a booster shot at this time. Even the FDA, even the CDC. You know, they've been telling us for months now, oh, it's perfect, this vaccine. It's perfect. If you get the vaccine, Joe Biden said that at the town hall last week. If you get the vaccine, you won't get COVID. And he says this as his own White House officials have gotten COVID after being vaccinated, if you can believe it. And Don Lemon, he went on his show after the town hall to perpetuate the lie. The problem is not with anyone who's vaccinated. It's you. If you haven't gotten the jab, this is a pandemic now for the unvaccinated. So say these communist authoritarians. So this article, even the FDA turned down Pfizer. Notice Dr. Tedros, he's not exactly a conservative red stater heading up the WHO, the World Health Organization. He said, while many countries haven't even started vaccinating, and another country has already vaccinated the majority of the population with two doses and now moving to a third dose, which is the booster, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. It says, if there is one word that can explain it, it's greed. So says Dr. Tedros. And yet listen to these leaders, these experts, these politicians, these propagandists in the media, just bowing down before Fauci and his opinions, or before this drug, or whatever it might be. Listen, if you can, to South Australia's. She's a public health physician, and they've had small outbreaks, and yet these extreme lockdowns. And here she is explaining, trying to explain how this disease spreads. This is clip 3.
What I'm going to just explain now is the exposure location is day 0. Day 1 is the next day. You might not have got your first test until day 3 or day 4. So that to me is not the first test. That could almost be your fifth test. It's depending whereabouts you have had that initial test, depending on where it is, as close it is to one. What I'd like to explain is we would like everybody to have had 3 tests.
These are the people running the show, imposing these extreme lockdowns on millions upon millions of people. You try to make sense of a statement like that. Test? What? Test? Day 1, day 2, 3 tests? How many lockdowns? Lockdown? Come out of lockdown? Ease restrictions? Go back into lockdown? The cure is killing us. At some point, COVID-19 will go away. And the cure will remain. It makes you very much appreciate the simplicity of God's truth. It makes you yearn for the kingdom of God when all of this madness will finally be over. This descent into madness, craziness on display every single day. Jesus came into Galilee, it says in Mark 1, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, God's kingdom on earth, God's royal family ruling the earth, teaching God's laws about health, among other things. The laws of radiant health. How to eliminate disease entirely, not make it worse, but how to get rid of it. It all gets back to the laws of God, to obedience. Jesus came with that gospel, that kingdom gospel message, and immediately started to select a few disciples. And he told them all, look, you've been fishing in the Sea of Galilee, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to teach others. Notice Matthew 19 and verse 27. I got into some of this on Friday's program, but I can repeat a little bit of it here. It says in verse 27, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? I mean, what is it? Is it really worth it? We've sacrificed a lot to follow in your steps. And notice how Jesus responded. Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, you disciples, you, the ones I'm training and teaching, you're going to be ruling over the nations of Israel. You're going to be administering God's righteous rule over the people of this world. God's way will soon spread over all the earth. God has an imperialistic aim. You see it in the Kingdom of God message. Think about what a kingdom is. A kingdom with a king. A kingdom where there's territory, there's subjects, there's laws. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. That's good news. That's what the word gospel means. The good news of the coming kingdom of God. The world today, as it descends into madness, it needs some good news, doesn't it? It needs the good news of the gospel. It needs the good news of the kingdom. God speaks of Christ's disciples as being kings and priests. You can see that in Revelation 1. You can see it in Revelation 9. Kings and priests. God says, look, you need to prepare to rule. To rule. On Friday's show, I mentioned the example of Prince Harry and just what a disaster he's been for the British royal family, and how that, you know, he had this big expose or this article revealing his inner thoughts back in 2017. This is before he effectively divorced from the British family. He said in that article back in 2017, I've just longed to be something other than a prince. And I don't even know if anybody wants to be king in our family. If Queen Elizabeth dies, I'm not even sure anyone wants to replace her. What a negative message coming from a prince who hated being a prince. God's royal family doesn't think that way. God says to his family, you were born to rule. And that's something to get excited about. That's something to be passionate about. We've been conducting a summer youth camp here on our headquarters campus. Teenagers coming from all over the world. And the theme we established for this particular youth camp is on fire for your royal future. We've really encouraged the young people to get fired up for God's royal family. That's what this world needs. That's what this dying world needs. And this is a theme, really, that it's a reoccurring theme. On fire for your royal future a few years ago at a summer educational program or a youth camp, my father gave a message on building leadership. He referred to the example of Winston Churchill and William Manchester's classic series on Churchill, just a magnificent book or two books, I guess it was, when before he died, he didn't quite finish the third volume, Manchester. But he says about Winston Churchill, he says, I shall always, well, let me just back up. It says, away from his desk, he was at various times an airplane pilot, artist, farmer, fencer, hunter, breeder of racehorses, polo player, collector of tropical fish, and a shooter of wild animals in Africa. Winston Churchill was a man of action. He was, as we heard earlier this week, he was a real Renaissance man and a leader. He was proud of the royal family. He was there to defend the royal family, to fight for the royal family. What a different spirit when you compare it to Prince Harry and the way it is in Britain today. And the same can be said for the United States. It says here, this is someone remembering Churchill, "I shall always have a picture of that spring day and the sense of power and energy, the great flow of action, which came from Churchill, although he then held no public office." He's writing about just the flurry of activity in his at his estate. All that action, even when he was in the midst of his wilderness years. Manchester says, "In London's ministries, everyone seemed indecisive, vacillating, but not here with the master at Chartwell. To Macmillan, he alone seemed to be in command when everyone else was dazed and hesitating." This is the kind of leadership that God wants to build in his church. This is the kind of leadership that Jesus was looking for when he told Peter and others, "Look, you've been fishing here in this sea, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to teach others." And they needed to be on fire for that calling. They needed a single-minded focus. That's the essence of the very first and great commandment, to just put God first, to put God above all else, to love God more than yourself, to love God and the God family empire, more than yourself. Notice what it says in Matthew 6 and verse 34. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." It says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Don't have any anxiety for tomorrow or for what tomorrow might hold. Just maintain a proper spiritual focus. Now, plan ahead, and there's something to be said, obviously, for long-term goals. But keep a right focus. Seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness. Let me just back up to verse 22. It says, "The light of the body is the eye." The light of the body is the eye. "If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light." If your eye, or the mind in other words, if it's focused right, it's going to fill up your life with light. That's why it's important for us to set our minds on the things above, like it says in Colossians 3. It says in verse 23 here, "But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" I mean, we look around this world today and we just see thick darkness. We see ignorance. We see rebellion. We see anti-God hostility, hostility to God's law. Just as Paul said it would be. Romans 8 and verse 7. The prophet Jeremiah 17, 9. Boy, there is a hostility, an angry hostility in many cases toward God and his word. We don't want God to teach us or tell us anything. We don't want him to have final say or final authority. We'd prefer it be some expert who flip-flops or lies and gets away with it. God's truth, it's exactly that. It's true, it's right, it's just. It says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." It says you cannot serve God and mammon. It can't be both. You can't straddle the fence. When we come into God's family, we then belong to God. We belong to him. We serve him. Just like those disciples served Jesus Christ And they asked, they were human. They said, look, we followed you. What is this? I mean, where does this lead? What do we receive in the end? What are we going to be doing when we reach the destination? And Christ said to them, you're going to be ruling. You're going to be given authority. You're going to be the government officials of tomorrow. That's what we're in training. That's what we're in training for. And it all starts with a submission to God, our Creator. God, our Father. This is from our booklet, The Ten Commandments. And you can get, as I said earlier, you can get this booklet and any others that we offer. You can go to our website and look under the library tab at thetrumpet.com. But you can also call our operators today and we'll get the Ten Commandments booklet out to you as soon as possible. That number is 1-866-930-3024. And it says in the Ten Commandments, notice also that Joshua reminded Israel, it's referring to Joshua in a passage in Joshua 4, he reminded Israel that all people on earth must come to fear God. The word fear in the Hebrew is yer, and simply means deep reverence or respect. God's religion is not a fear religion. God does not want any of us to have an unnatural fear of him, but God does demand respect. He demands respect. He's the Father. He's the head of the family. He's the head of the royal family of God. He's heading up the God family empire. It says here, the first commandment teaches us that we must respect the high office and authority of Almighty God. Essentially, this commandment shows us that we must come under the government of God. God must rule our very lives, personally. When the people of ancient Israel heard God speak this first commandment, they knew that their God was a God of law and government. It says the people were left with no doubt that it was the government of God that would make them a great nation. This is what God wanted to teach the Israelites of old. This is what Jesus was teaching the disciples who gave up their former jobs and just followed Christ. He says, if you do this, if you follow in my steps, I will give you royal authority. I'll make you kings and priests for God. Kings and priests to rule on the earth, right here on earth. Read it, Revelation 5:10. Here in Matthew 6, it says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I mean, God provides. God will look after you. You don't need to worry or wonder about, you know, what you're going to accumulate or how much you're going to accumulate. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? See, why worry? Why have all these unnecessary fears and worries when you can just put your faith and your trust in God? God the Father. It says here, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Even King Solomon and that empire, that kingdom, in all of its splendid glory, how do you even compare it to a little beautiful lily in the field? Created by God, a creation of God. Verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus' instruction here is, look, just quit trying to do things the way you think they ought to be done, and serve God. Just serve and obey God. serve, obey, and support the great Creator God. Verse 31 continues. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows what we need physically. He doesn't get worried about it. He doesn't have all these fears and worries when it comes to these physical things. But what's he most concerned about? What does he want to see most in you and in me? He wants to see growth. He wants to see priorities, right priorities, as established here in this passage. Verse 33, it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Set your heart on God's family empire, on that royal family. Be on fire for the royal family of God and for the soon coming kingdom of God. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. We sure do thank you for joining us on today's show. Don't forget that you can get to the weekday version of this show at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast, and we'll see you next time.
The Trumpet Daily.